Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holding conference call to present and discuss the 9 months 2019 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holdings management, Mr. Alexandros Roustas, Investor Relations Officer. Gentlemen, you may proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings. And I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Markos Bitsakos. We will first give you a brief update of the results of the first 9 months of 2019 and an outlook for the rest of the year, and we will later have time for your questions. For those of you who sit in front of a PC, you can browse the IR segment of our corporate webpage, quest.gr, and download all relevant information, including our corporate presentation. Now, I will give the microphone to Mr. Markos Bitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Markos Bitsakos, Quest Group CFO. As we usually do, I will start with the snapshot of the consolidated figures. For revenues, has expanded by 16%, reaching 400 million euros. And this growth was mainly fueled by two sectors, IT products, meaning the volume business, and IT services by nearly 19 and 30% respectively. Both our EBITDA and EBT grew by 30%, and earnings after tax and non-controlling interest improved almost by 40%. As far as our net debt position for the group was 14 million euros compared to 16.5 million net cash in 9 months of 2018 and 25.7 net cash in the beginning of the year. The change from December of 2018 is due to the higher working capital needs and the new investment in the renewable energy sector.
Now, diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the IT product segment, consisting of four companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm, and Quest Online, climbed by 19% at the sales level, while EBT jumped to 4.3 million compared to only 1 million euro last year. Now, at this point, we must note that EBT has significantly been boosted almost by 1.4 million euro by the reversal of an extraordinary provision regarding intellectual property right fees. The highest growth is in the IT services sector, consisting of Unisystems and subsidiaries, which improved by more than 30% in sales and by 3.6 times in EBT. Growth came from both domestic and international activities. Furthermore, we must note that the company has delivered two projects that were producing losses in the past. So, as a result, the company recovers to the normal sector's profit margin, which is between 5 and 10%. Postal services, that is ICS, grew by almost 7% in terms of sales. Much steeper was the EBT growth, 22%, driven by improvements in productivity, where the company has a very good track record. Electronic payment, that is Carlink, sales shrank by 20%, and EBT by 36%. What we observe here is that after an extraordinary performance in 2018, the local market matures and the company sales stabilize at its normal levels, which are expected, however, to be maintained from now on. There have been also turnover discounts given to the two largest customers of the company, which are banks, in the context of a new agreement reached last year. Last year, the discounts were accounted in the results during the fourth quarter, while this year, are shared between the year's quarters. So we expect that by the end of the year, the negative difference compared to 2018 will diminish. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales almost tripled in the first 9 months of 2019 compared to the same period last year. The reason are, firstly, the acquisition of new solar parks of 7.5 megawatts total power by the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019. And secondly, the recent acquisition of a fully operational solar park of 12 megawatts power in July 2019. The investment for the specific acquisition totaled 25 million euro. The total installed base by the end of the 9 months of 2019 period was 25 megawatts. Now let me pass over to Mr. Georgantzis to give his view on the group's outlook.
Good afternoon to all. I am Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group CEO. Regarding the outlook for the rest of the current year, we note the following per business segment. Regarding the first sector, which is the IT products, we estimate for the whole year a double-digit growth in both sales and EBT in comparison to the last year, with also improving of organic profitability, which means without extraordinary effects such as the IP rights. In the second sector, which is the IT services, we estimated that 9 months growth trend will continue for the remaining year, both in terms of sales and EBT. And it's very important that this growth also this time comes from both abroad as well as from the Greek market. Regarding the third sector, which is the postal services, we expect that the current growth trends will continue for the full year, though perhaps there will be a more modern EBT growth. For the fourth sector, which regards electronic payments, 2019 sales are estimated to stabilize at 2018 levels, while EBITDA at roughly 40% as a margin to sales, and EBT is estimated at the levels of about 15% to sales. Further future in this sector will be driven by the increase of transaction, growing double-digit in 2019, while the penetration is still low at around 30% of the retail market, versus a more, let's say, mature market of Western Europe, which is above 40%. And the launch as well of the new products and services to the merchants. Finally, for the last sector, which is renewable energy, Quest Energy, at the end of last year, we doubled the total capacity of the company to 13 megawatts. And again, back in July, we doubled again the capacity to about 25 megawatts in total. This impact is depicted in the sector 9-month P&L with a surge in revenue profitability. And this is going to continue as well till the end of the year next year. Furthermore, we're actively looking for new opportunities in this sector to further develop our base. At the group levels for the whole year, therefore, summing up all the ones that I said before, we estimate it similar to 9 months period growth. I will now pass to Markos Bitsakis to provide a more detailed guidance in numbers for the full year.
So more specifically, we estimate for the entire year sales to grow at double digits and exceed 550 million euros. EBITDA we estimate to grow at high double digits and land near to 50 million euros. EBT is estimated to also surpass last year's results and reach 30 million. And earning after tax is estimated to be around 20 million euros with existing tax rates. I'm saying existing tax rates because there is a law which is about to be voted that reduces the effective tax rate from 28% to 24%. CapEx and new investments to be about 33 million euros, of which 5 million regards running CapEx, and the rest 28 million regards growth CapEx. Lastly, net debt is expected to be at around 10 million euros, lower than the respective net debt of 9-month period, taking into account also the capital return, which is expected to be completed tomorrow. Of course, don't forget that this is a rough estimate due to the high seasonality that Quest Group has, and especially the volume business, which is InfoQuest Technologies and iSquare, the Apple dealer.
Okay, that was our brief overview for the first 9 months. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Zafari Arash with Quaero. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Congratulations again on the very strong quarter, everyone. I just had two questions, actually. The first was if you could just provide any more color and outlook on the Cardlink business and the dynamics you commented on in terms of seeing an improvement in Q4, and how we should think maybe in a little bit more detail about that business moving forward in terms of a competitive environment and the sort of underlying growth. It seems there's been a lot going on there over the last year. And my second point was in terms of the management strategy targets, I'd seen, I think, last quarter there was the target for 2021 net profit of 25 million as a target. And if I take, you know, the 9 months to date performance, and I take Q4 of 2018 and assume some sort of growth in line perhaps with the average for the year, it seems that you might actually hit that target this year or come very close to hitting the target this year. And I just wondered if that was what you'd been seeing so far in the quarter and if you thought that was also a reasonable assumption. And I'll stop there. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you for the questions. This is Apostolos Ioganis speaking. Regarding the first questions, which regards Carling, the company, as we explained in previous quarters, has done a new agreement with the banks. And this agreement has, among other things, some revenue discounts, which this year, last year were taken all in the last quarter. This year we take it through the quarters, throughout the year, and therefore that's why we see that the company has a lower, let's say, revenue than last year, about 20%. This will be normalized by the end of the year, so the whole year revenue is expected to be at the same levels like last year. One other thing to note about Carling is that it has grew by more or less four times during the last 3 years, 4 years, and this market has matured a lot. Therefore, we see that the company, through the new agreement, has a more solid outlook for many years. So the extension of the agreement with the main customer, the two banks, was done till end of 2024. But this also resulted in some discounts that were given to the banks. And this is affecting both this year as well as next year. Starting from 2021, we will see the company that it will start growing, doing better in all its, let's say, lines, in both revenue and especially in profitability. Now, regarding the second question, if I understood it well, it was regarded the return on equity that we mentioned in our strategy, which we said that our target was to reach around 20% return on equity, meaning EBT versus equity. And this regarded was compared to back to 2015-16, which were our return on equity in terms of EBT to equity was about 10%. And our plan was to double that, to reach around 20%. Therefore, we're in a good way on track on this, let's say, target, while our profitability margins regarding EBT and EBITDA already of the strategy already more or less achieved. I hope I understood well the question and answered it. Of course, we're still growing. We expect to grow further. We haven't reached one other aspect of the strategy is to reach 600 million in revenue. We're not yet there, but we might be able to reach that hopefully next year. Since this year, as it looks, we're going to be more than in revenue more than 550 million at the end of the year.
Oh, hi. Sorry, it's Arash again. Actually, sorry, my question was not on the net margin, but just on the absolute amount of net profit which was in the target. I think it was 25 million net profit target, just as an absolute amount, not percentage margin.
No, we never had such disclosed such targets. The two targets that we have disclosed was the EBITDA margin, the EBIT margins, as well as the return on equity in terms of EBIT to equity. So
my apologies. I must have been mistaken. I must have had it mistaken then. Sorry about that.
Of course, you can say and you can understand that this year seems to be a good year and we're doing better, so we're in track and a bit better from in order to reach this target that we have mentioned.
Mr. Zafari, have you finished with your questions?
Thank you very much. That was very useful. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good evening, and congratulations for the set of results that you achieved during the nine-month period. I have a question regarding group's normalized working capital over sales ratio, excluding the impact of the increased working capital needs that you mentioned in the press release regarding this year's results. Where do you project this ratio stabilizing at for the group? I mean, thank you.
I don't have a... So now, what happens with the working capital is a bit different because we don't have the one business. We have many businesses. It's a bit different from business to business. This year, the working capital was affected by the growth in the volume business mainly, where as you've seen, the growth was about 20%, and therefore the working capital increased due to the increase of sales. But this is a constant thing that we take, we examine it very carefully and trying to minimize that. Therefore, after an increase in working capital in the first quarter and the 6 months, gradually in the 9 months, you see it becomes, it improves, and it will improve further till the end of the year. What happens as well this year is that we had, if you recall, the six-month result, we have some projects in the IT services sector which needed financing for the project to be delivered, and this was a short-term finance for some delivery of equipment and project for Unisystems, which operates in this sector, which is estimated to be concluded either in January or maybe possibly within December. And this will also improve a lot, let's say, the working capital ratio as you see.
Okay. And a follow-up question regarding the working capital. On the cash flow statement on the nine-month results period, we see an excessive increase in receivables. Is that attributed to the volume business of the IT products, or it relates to energy sales as well that are to be collected?
It has nothing to do with the energy business. It has to do with the volume business, as you said, plus the revenue recognition that Unisystems is operating, meaning it's a little bit difficult to be understood, let's say, if you're not familiar with the revenue recognition that an IT service provider is implement obligatory, meaning according to the IFRS standards. So there we have the invoice amount that are due already for the volume business, plus the revenue recognition that Unisystem is doing every period.
Okay, so we should expect this to diminish a bit at the full year results.
This will be transformed from Unisystems to accounts receivable.
Okay, thanks a lot.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry for forgetting to ask. Do you have any further plans for dividend payments, or you are done with the 14 cents that as a share buyback that you have that you are completing tomorrow with the payment? Thank you.
For this year, the plan is to what we say basically is that every year we usually decide to give a payout to our shareholders. Usually we do it the last years in terms of returning capital, cash, and we decide usually to do it at the end of the year. So you see, in all the last 3-4 years, we've done it like that. And we did it this way because it's also much cheaper in terms of tax for everybody. So the benefit for the shareholders. Now, this year we did 14 cents. If you compare it with last year, this is more than 10% growth, higher than last year. And this is because we're doing better. We have a general, let's say, finger rule that out of the profitability that we produce, and it's recurring, we give 20, more or less 20% back to our shareholders, and the remaining 80% is reinvested to fuel future growth. So what we expect is we don't expect to do any more dividends or returns this year, and probably we'll decide what we do about next year at the middle of next year, or as usually do in the second half of the year.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Gould William with NPJ Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello there. Yes, I just wanted to check up, and you may have also covered this already. I'm a bit newer to the business. I just wanted to check, is Q4 a seasonally stronger business? I know if we remove some of those one-off items you said, is it a period of greater growth, and or is it just a normal quarter generally? That was just something to check as I try and work out your full year earnings. Thank you.
In general, I would say that we have seasonality, especially in the first sector, which is the commercial part, so where we trade basically equipment. And we have a strong seasonality during the last quarter of the year, which is much stronger compared to the other quarters. In the remaining businesses, there is some seasonality, but it's not so strong. So we expect some seasonality, but this is we expect it to be similar to other years. I don't know whether I answered well the question and whether I understood it well.
No, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Okay, we thank you all for being present in this call. And as a closing, I would like to say that the results of the first 9 months are validating management initial estimation for seeing adequate growth during this year. We continue to focus on our strategic plan for growth in all our business in both organic and inorganic way. And 9 months of 2019 results are a proof that we're in good track in achieving this target, as we mentioned before during the questions, in our strategic plan of 2021, which also included achieving EBITDA of more than 9% and more than 5% EBT margins, leading to a double compared to 2015 return on invest on equity in terms of EBT. We're there already with the margins, and we're in good track with the return on equity. We do foresee to continue and invest for growth, while part of the profits, I already said before, around 20% is given back constantly to our shareholders, such as the capital return that we just concluding tomorrow, and which is more than 10% higher than last year. We will continue to implement our plans, aiming in long-term sales and profitability and operational cash flow growth, and to invest in areas of interest and with growth potential, and gradually divest from the ones the activities with low yield and the low performing activities or assets. Thank you very much.